Welcome to Something Wicked Radio, featuring specially adapted radio drama from within the pages of Something Wicked Science Fiction and Horror Magazine.
To find out more about Something Wicked, log on to our website at somethingwicked.co.za. This month's podcast interview is with Arthur C. Clarke Award winner Lauren Bucus. For those of you who don't know, Lauren Bucus is the award-winning author of Zoo City and Moxieland. I interviewed Lauren a week before the Clarke Awards were announced, and at the time neither of us knew she had won. So 3 months later, I thought I'd catch up with her again to see how things had changed since the win, and to help promote her US tour this month for WorldCon. Here we are again.
Here we are again.
Lauren Bucus.
Joe Vaz.
Together.
Fighting crime.
What is it? Writing crime.
Yeah, that too.
The last time we did this interview, we were both sort of sneak attacked. We were doing an Arthur C. Clarke Award interview and we didn't know it.
Yes.
So this time around, I get to ask the question, how does it feel to be the winner of the Arthur C. Clarke Award?
Very, very strange. I'm still getting used to it. It's still kind of weird. I still have moments. When they announced it on the night, I didn't believe them. Firstly, it didn't register. And secondly, my hands were shaking for like half an hour afterwards. And the next day, I was terribly hungover. I'd had 2 hours sleep. My brother ensured that I really did celebrate it. And I was riding the subway to meet with some friends for lunch. And I'm like, okay, yeah, you know, maybe I should get off at Angel or Highbury Islington. That might actually be a better stop. And holy crap, I won the Clarke Award! And it was just these little moments of like just amazingness. It was, you know, it didn't seem real, and then suddenly it would just be these bright bursts of happiness and disbelief. It was really nice.
And it was, I could be wrong, it was handed to you by China Merville.
Yes. Like, just ridiculous. It was ridiculous.
Has it sunk in now? Proper?
I think it has sunk in, mainly because people keep harassing me for interviews. No reflection on present company, of course.
Of course.
But yeah, it's been very strange. We've got an amazing South African satirist called Tom Eaton, and he sent me a hilarious email saying, you know, what are you going to do with the corpse of a dead guy? And you got to make sure to keep the babies and the cats away from that. Make sure the flies don't manifest too much. But it's interesting because I suddenly feel a lot more pressure, and I feel like, sure, I have the ghost of Sir Arthur standing behind me. Kind of peering over my shoulder as I type, going, yeah, better be good. Better be writing. Better be better than the last one.
Don't do that. Don't do that to yourself. The point is, I think you've been awarded on the merit of your creation, and therefore continue to create the way you created before.
Well, it's nice because I'm going through, you know, complete, I'm working on a new novel, and I'm going through agonies of insecurity and self-doubt. And I'm like, oh, this is the Clarke Award, it's messing me up. And Matthew's like, no, this is your normal process. Trust me, I've been through it 3 times before. This is how you are when you start a book. And I'm like, oh, okay, that actually helps. And I think that helps a lot. You know, it's this incredible, amazing accolade. And international recognition, and to be ranked up there with authors like China Merville and Margaret, sure, Atwood. But at the same time, it's also, you know, my normal life continues. And my friends and my family keep me grounded. You know, my kid climbs on my head. And my husband's like, yeah, okay, whatever award winner, wash the dishes.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's great. It's really nice to just be able to live a normal life and be grounded and not get a giant head where I can't walk through doors.
Well, I think the point of awards like this is to give you recognition, is to, you know, to basically show the rest of the world that doesn't know who you are, that, you know, this is a good author. Check her out. But I think from your peers' perspective, it's a pat on the back that says, well done, keep at it.
Yeah. No, absolutely, yeah. Definitely. I think it's also been really nice. There's been a lot more interest in the book in South Africa as well. You know, it's gone into 2 new print runs in South Africa. And
just unheard of.
I know. Well, it's not unheard of if you've written a boarding school memoir.
Yes.
But, yeah. And that's really cool. And I've got a lot of people reading that. And I also have people recognizing me in the street, which is really weird.
That is,
it freaks me out. I'm like, oh god, run away. For a writer, I know, you know, yeah. if you're the Antwoord, fine. But yeah, so I'm beginning to I feel like the pressure, I can't step out and run to the engine garage in my slippers anymore.
Yeah, well, the problem with recognition is it always happens when you least expect it. The first time, most recently, that I've been recognized as an actor is by my plumber. And I'm, again, slippers and pyjamas at 8 o'clock in the morning. And I was like, aren't you in Death Race? Yes. The toilet's not flushing. It's just, you know, it's not what you want. You have these ideas of glamour, but it never works out that way. Have doors opened up that were previously... It's difficult to say they were previously closed, though.
No, but I think the doors might have been ajar and now they've kind of bust open.
Right.
I'd had some press interest before, and it's just now coming from unexpected avenues that I haven't paid attention to my work previously. So in South Africa, for example, Heyskanoet and You magazine did a feature on me, which is awesome.
There's 700,000 readers right there.
I know, completely. And Die Beeld and Die Burger, and, you know, I've never really had attention from the Afrikaans press. Minor reviews, but suddenly they're doing, like, kind of, you know, a full-page article. And that's really amazing, to be able to address that audience and get that kind of reach is awesome.
Doesn't it freak you out that... that's a very South African thing, that you kind of need to break all barriers overseas before your fellow South Africans recognize you. Isn't that weird?
It is weird, and I do see that happening. I mean, we saw what happened with Die Antwoord, for example. And Neil Blomkamp, I mean, he made Lust, Alive in Joburg, which was amazing.
Yeah.
I think there are a cult following who do see that. I think it's probably the difference between, that's going to sound terrible, but like more mainstream people and more kind of pop culture addicts. And I think the pop culture addicts, I mean, I went to see Die Antwoord when they were Max Normal and when they were Constructors Corporation. Every single incarnation that Waddy Jones has had, I've seen.
Right.
And just because the rest of South Africa hadn't heard of him didn't mean that he wasn't recognized or a success, but it was just in such a small community. I think what the international thing does is it breaks it open to the mainstream.
Right.
And suddenly you get the people who weren't paying attention, kind of breaks through their, I guess they have kind of cultural barricades up. And I think a lot of that, unfortunately, is against South African stuff. You know, I was reading on a major women's news website in South Africa recently on the book reviews page about how the writer just hates South African books because they're, you know, she doesn't read them because they're not entertaining. And I'm like, you are reading the wrong books.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think you've tried a South African book in 10 years because that's absolutely not true. Dion Meyer's 13 Hours was riveting. I couldn't put it down. It's an amazing thriller. S.L. Gray's The Mall was just horrifying and terrifying. I never read Chick Lit, but Fiona Snicker's books, Trinity Rising and Trinity on Air, are just fabulous and fun and smart, and they've got a nasty little satirical edge, and they get a dig in at, like, social issues. And I think that's what South African literature does so well, is that even our entertaining stuff does kind of address those social issues as well, but not in a ham-fisted or laborious or painful way. So, yeah, when I read stuff like that, I want to, you know, shake people.
Well, having said that, at least it has introduced South African readers to your work. And through your interviews, I mean, you never stop punting other South African writers, and hopefully that will improve their sales as well and allow South Africans to discover the wealth of talent that we have in this country.
Definitely. I think any international success like that, you know, when Damon Gulbert was up for the Booker last year, you know, that suddenly it's people are like, oh, a South African writer's up for the Booker? Oh, okay, well, maybe there's some other good stuff out there. So I think that definitely does help establish kind of, yeah.
I'm just thrilled. I mean, 5 years ago, I didn't know a single writer, and I didn't know a South African writer. And in the last 5 years, specifically the Cape Town scene, though obviously Joburg is also pumping them out, I'm just so excited to be surrounded by South African writers everywhere. I think there's beginning to be a bit more of a following and support for local writers, which I think is amazing. And places like the Book Lounge are definitely pushing for and helping that.
No, absolutely. And I think, you know, I think exclusive books, they get a bad rap. And, you know, there's a lot of controversy about books being slammed into the African section, which is a bookstore apartheid. And it's really painful because no one looks there. I think they are very supportive of local authors, and I think, I've certainly had a lot of support from exclusives, which has been amazing.
But now, besides books, so, I mean, you're at the moment you're busy writing your third novel.
Yeah.
But you've also been working on comic books.
Mm-hmm.
And your documentary premiered last month at the Encounters Festival. How did that go?
That went fabulously. I was a bit scared. It's called Glitter Boys in Gangland, and it's about the biggest female impersonation beauty pageant in Cape Town. And yeah, we followed three hopefuls right through the process from kind of getting into the semifinals all the way through to the big night. And they were fantastic characters, really, really cool, interesting people. But I wasn't sure how anybody was going to take it, because you never know, you know, even as a journalist, like, people sometimes react badly when, even if you're absolutely showing the complete story of who they are, the way people perceive themselves and the way the camera shows them are sometimes different, and there might be some dissonance there. But I was confident that we really kind of held true to who these people were and to the stories. But I was a bit nervous, you know, I was a bit nervous that somebody might want to beat me up afterwards, which is a problem because these aren't, you know, as luscious and gorgeous as they were, these aren't girls, they're men.
Right.
And I really didn't want to get beaten up. But everyone seemed to love it. It was really great. We got all the girls along who participated in the pageant, who came to the premiere, and it was really fun and fantastic, and everyone looked completely gorgeous. And there's been a really strong reaction, even though it's, there's some quite intense and depressing moments in the film. You know, one of the girls talks about how her younger brother, the one was killed by a gangster, stabbed to death by a gangster, and the other was run over by a police car. And it's just horrible. And it's a really... It gives you real insight into the Cape Flats and what people have to deal with on a daily basis. But at the same time, the character, the person behind this who's telling you these stories, is such an amazing human being. And she actually carries it through. And she, by day, she's a mechanic called Matthew, and she goes into her workplace, working in the garage. And he's completely overcome homophobia in the workplace just by joking and, like, making little, you know, asides. And we interviewed his co-workers, and it was hilarious and wonderful. And it was just so great. So although we had these dark moments, it's ultimately a really kind of uplifting, happy film. And it was such a pleasure to work on. It was really fun.
And it obviously had a good response. I think you added an extra screening or two.
We did add an extra screening. It sold out really, really quickly. And it's going to be, again, up at the Out in Africa Festival, which is happening in August.
Are you sending it to any other festivals?
We are. We've sent it to Sundance in Toronto and the London Festival. And we've got a whole list of, like, places that we're sending it to. And it's also been sold to the SABC, so it will be aired on South African TV.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Now, tell me about the comic books. The last time we talked, you'd just done the one shot,
mm-hmm.
And now there have been more developments, but I'm not entirely certain what's happening.
Well, it's just been announced at Comic-Con, so I am actually allowed to talk about it now. So what I did was I did a short 9-pager called All the Pretty Ponies for Strange Adventures, which was an anthology collection. And the editor I worked with really liked it, and she really liked my ideas. But I'd spoken to her 2 years before that. You know, I think... Somebody commented on this the other day. They're like, oh my God, you make it look so easy. And I'm like, I've had 2 years of email with this editor and waiting for months and, you know, yes, we're interested, but no, it's not ready yet. And, you know, so you don't see kind of the backlog which goes in behind that and the real hard work to get to this point. So I put in a proposal like 2 years ago and it got approved a couple of months ago and I've been since working on that. And it's actually a spin-off of Bill Willingham's Fables, which is about magical fairy tale people who've fleeing from the homelands, which are the magical homelands,
right,
from the adversary. And they're kind of refugees in New York. And they're a hidden community of magical people hiding out.
Wow.
And it's really great. And it's really, and the Big Bad Wolf is kind of the detective he plays is very noirish, kind of gruff character. He's fantastic. Snow White kind of administers the whole area, but Rose Red, her troublesome sister, is causing cuck wherever she goes. And it's just a wonderful, incredibly imaginative, epic scale series. And Bill, I met Bill at Worldcon in 2009, and he actually sent me to see his editor at Vertigo. And they asked me to pitch on specifically on the character of Rapunzel. So I pitched a story about Rapunzel set in Japan, because they've never really got into kind of Japanese fairy tales, and I really wanted to kind of explore that and play with it. And they loved the proposal, and I'm just finished the first one, and I've got another. It's going to be a 6-series comic.
A 6-parter.
6-parter, yes, thank you.
No,
that's good. That is correct terminology.
So all of these things, basically, it's just coincidence that you just, because obviously since winning the Clark Award, everyone knows Lauren Bucus' name, and all of a sudden it's like Zoo City followed by Vertigo followed by Fables followed by...
It's terrible. On Twitter, sometimes I feel like I can't talk about it because I'm like, oh God, you know, I was like talking, promoting my book, and I'm going to go, well, I actually also have this comic.
Uh-huh.
And then I also have this documentary, and I'm sorry, I'm going to shut up now. And yeah, but it's just, it's pure coincidence. The timing is actually terrible because everything, I'm had to work on everything.
At the same time.
And I've just got this TV show for the SABC on Matric Dances. We're much. It's not my super sweet 16. We're really kind of looking at what it means to be young in South Africa today and the range of experience of what that is, and just using the Matric Dance as kind of a lens, and that's happening now as well. So I've got the comic book and I've got the TV show. I've just done a Facebook game, and I have a new novel which my agent is hacking me for. So
when's that due?
I can't talk about it.
Okay. Now you're off to the States soon, so. Lead us through your tour.
I'm going
so people can be prepped and waiting.
I'm going to Worldcon for it's happening in Reno this year, and I'm mainly going to Worldcon because I'm up for the John W. Campbell Award, which is the it's not a Hugo Award officially, but it is part of the Hugo ceremony, which just makes it more confusing. But I'm up against some really solid writers, and including Lev Grossman, who wrote The Magicians, who also is Time Magazine's book critic. So I'm up against some really amazing writers, and I don't know how much chance I stand. And it is a popular vote.
Yeah.
So there might well be readers who've just never heard of me, or I don't resonate with them because South Africa is too strange and weird, or somebody else is just an infinitely better writer. That my philosophy is in awards, if you're going to lose. Lose to amazing, brilliant writers. So
you're safe.
Yeah, no. But, the BSFA award, I lost to Ian MacDonald, and that's, I'm happy to lose to Ian MacDonald any day.
Yeah.
And in the South African awards, in the Eminent Literary Prize, and the University of Johannesburg Prize, Ivan Vladislavic won. And that's fantastic,
But other than Worldcon, I've seen you on Twitter going through a bunch of...
Okay, so I'm going to Worldcon for the John W. Campbell Prize. Ceremony. I'm also stopping in New York on the way there. I've got a reading at the New York Public Library in Manhattan.
Oh, wow.
Which is really cool. And it got organized for me through Twitter. I asked if anyone had any contacts, and this amazing architect set me up with the New York Library. And Lev Grossman, who wrote The Magicians, he didn't have those contacts. I actually, because I emailed him to say, listen, Lev, can you recommend any other cool things I can do? And he was like, oh, try this. And I was like, okay, well, I'm also doing this thing at the New York Library. And he was like, the New York Library, how did you organize that? I'm like, oh, just this amazing person on Twitter set it up for me. And then I hooked him up, so he's good now. So yeah, so I'm doing the New York Public Library on the 15th of August. I'm doing KGB Bar, which I've always wanted to do, in New York on the 16th in the evening. And then I'm going to Reno. I've got a whole bunch of different events. I'm going to put up a schedule on my website. And then I'm going to San Francisco to do a reading at Borderlands and maybe some other readings at some genre bookstores in Berkeley.
That sounds fantastic.
It's really fun. Oh, and I'm stopping in London on the way. I'm going to be there for 12 hours. But the guys from the Clark Awards and from pornokitch.com have organized some kind of event at the British Library, which will be really fun.
That sounds like insane. You don't even know what it is. So they're going to pick you up from the airport and just whisk you out there.
Well, they're going to whisk me to somewhere I can have a shower and then let me out in public after that.
Well, Lauren, let me say, first of all, thank you for giving us this interview. And secondly, thank you for putting South African genre fiction on the map, on the global map. And for just being a lacquer chick. It's just so awesome to see this happen to people we know and to, to South Africans and getting our stories out there. Not necessarily our stories, but our fiction out there. Because it's important for us and it's important for South African writers to be recognized along with everyone else.
Definitely, especially in South Africa.
Absolutely.
Can I end with a reading recommendation list?
Absolutely.
Okay, South African authors you must read, and they're not all genre writers. The Mall by S.L. Grey, which is an amazing, terrifying horror all about consumerism, and it's just devastating and very creepy. Deadlands by Lily Hearn, which is a YA set in a zombie apocalypse Cape Town. Very cool. Very fun. Sidekick by Adeline Radloff. It's a book about a time-traveling superhero and his teenage girl sidekick, who has real issues. She lives in Tambuurskloof, which is my hood. And it's really, it's kind of a teenage rom-com meets superheroes. It's great. Really, really fun and kick-ass. Charlie Human has an amazing manuscript, which I've read. He was my MA student, and it's called Apocalypse Now Now, and it's about magical creatures in Cape Town and an apartheid chemist and just general insanity. A giant mantis mecha features at one point. It's just completely mad. It's wonderful. It's amazing. I can't wait for him to get a publishing deal. And Sam Wilson's got a book called Commedia, which is set... It's a comedy set in Rome about this acting troupe who are forced to perform religious plays, but all they want to do is plays with penises on their noses, which is apparently a big thing in Rome. And that's just... It's fun. It's like a Roman heist. It's awesome. I can't tell you how great it is. So those are upcoming titles. Sufiso Mazobe has just won the Sunday Times Book Prize for his novel Young Blood, which is about young hijackers in... which township? Anyway, you'll have to figure that out. Fiona Snickers writes fantastic, really kick-ass, sharp, smart chick lit. And Dionne Meyer's thrillers are just amazing. Also, great crime writers, Margie Orford, anything she's written, and Mike Nichol as well. Like, really smart writing, and he writes to kind of musical soundtracks, and he gives you a soundtrack listing at the end. And he's like, these are the songs I recommend you play while reading the book. And he's got great taste in music. I'm like, oh yeah, I love them. Like, that's great. So just really, really fun, interesting, smart, fantastic writing. Zukiswa Wana writes books about living in Joburg, and her last one was up for the Commonwealth Book Prize. So yeah, there's just such a wealth of amazing, amazing writers. And people are missing out. If you're not reading South African fiction, you're really missing out. And I know that there are duds out there, but just go to a bookshop where people actually know. And get advice and get recommendations. And, you know, sit in the coffee shop and read 10 pages and see if it grabs you.
Absolutely. The 10-page test.
Yeah.
It never fails.
Cool.
Thank you very much.
Something Wicked Radio is produced by Something Wicked Magazine and Inkless Media Productions. Find us online at somethingwicked.co.za. Subscriptions and back issues of Something Wicked can be found at somethingwicked.co.za. We hope you enjoyed this installment of Something Wicked Radio. Keep your ears peeled for more episodes available through iTunes or your favorite podcasting website. Till next time, good night.